Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I'm honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. They're entrepreneurs, they're authors, they're speakers, they're business owners. They may be virtual assistants, they may be web developers. But these are people who have stepped out of the job kind of arena and gone off and done what their passion led them to do, what their, you know, their business mind told them to do. So they are here every week to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they're willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome to the show Philip Carson. Philip is a pharmacist who thinks outside the box of traditional medicine. He believes in helping people find natural alternatives and integrative medicine. I don't know if I said that right. Integrative medicine solutions,
yeah,
to their health. I did. Oh, woo-hoo, to their health problems. And he is committed to leading people to finding the root cause of their health problems and not just treating the symptoms, which I love. If you get sick in my house, I'll tell you right now, you get aspirin. That's it. He is passionate about encouraging and teaching people how to live more balanced, healthier, and vibrant lives, and he believes in equipping people with the knowledge to make really what boils down to the right choices for optimal health. He's as a registered pharmacist and a doctor of pharmacy with licenses in Mississippi and Tennessee. He is a graduate of the University of Mississippi School of Pharmacy. And since earning his degree in pharmacy, he has been certified as a compounding pharmacist, a diabetes care pharmacist, and most recently a consulting pharmacist. We'll have to explain that to us. Philip has also earned certifications in lipid management and gastroesophageal reflux disease, and he has earned numerous certifications in natural and alternative medicine, therapies for weight loss, fibromyalgia, ADD, ADHD, and many other health conditions. You probably tell he's in his car. Bless you, Dr. Phil. I keep wanting to call you Dr. Carson. I think because, you know, Dr. Carson is all over the news, and I'm not sure what to call you, Dr. Phil, Dr. Carson. But anyway, just so the audience knows, you're actually calling me right now from Birmingham, Alabama, and you're doing this interview in your car. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that. You're parked, just so the audience knows. You are parked. You're stationary. You're not driving.
Oh, yes, I'm parked.
Oh, good. So anyway, thank you for being here. You were referred to me by a friend of ours, Tom Schwab, who's been on my radio show. And you and I have had some conversations, and I'm really excited to speak with you today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity, Denise. This is a great honor for me to be on your show and share about what I do. And I thank you very much for this opportunity.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm looking forward to learning from you. Listen, as somebody who works from home, as an entrepreneur, and a lot of our audience has that entrepreneurial bent, I find, and I think you're going to agree with me, that we work harder than people who may go to a 40-hour week work job, you know, that type of thing. We're working all the time, and we're sitting, and we're in front of our monitors, and we're not really taking good care of our health unless we're mindful about it, are we?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, scary.
Right. I encounter
so hard
people
and we're,
like that
we're
every
hurting
day.
Ourselves. Well, I've been guilty of it. I had to move my gym into my home, so I would. You know, for some reason, getting into the car and making that drive 3 miles away was just more than I could handle. So I brought it into my garage, but I'm telling you, if you don't make that decision, it can hurt us. We can be making a ton of money and still be dying.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I preach to people, talk to people about, is that very fact. You know, we work so hard. We do everything we can to earn money, to build a nest egg, maybe for retirement. We get to the point to where, you know, we've got a comfortable living, we got the money that we want to live comfortably, and in the process of it, we have wasted all this time not taking care of ourselves, and at the expense of our health, we have earned the money that we've tried to earn, or we've earned the position that we've tried to earn. And I tell people all the time, you know, if you don't have your health, what good is all the wealth? You can't enjoy it. And you know, a lot of people that I encounter on a regular basis in my profession as a pharmacist are people that are in that position. They've got to an age of retirement, or they've got to a point in their life where they're, you know, they've achieved certain financial goals, their health is failing, and they can't enjoy it. And I think about, you know, there are a lot of people like that, and you know, they get to the point in their life and they look around and you know, say, what the health has happened to my wealth? Because at some point, if their health is not good, they're going to use all that wealth to try to pay for the medical care that they're needing.
That makes sense. And to be honest with you, and I know you're a natural pharmacist, but most medicine scares me to death. I mean, you look at all of the contraindications. I don't watch TV. I turned off cable a long time ago. But the one thing I remember is the commercials. Well, two things about the commercials. We all need toilet paper. Do you really need to have toilet paper commercials all the time? I don't get that. But that's just an aside there. But, you know, here's the thing. You would listen to these commercials about, you know, and they would do the soda voice about Viagra or whatever it was. The list of problems was longer than the actual soundbite for the commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that tell you something? If you're going to pop this thing into your mouth, don't you think you want to think about these things? I do.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Exactly.
When I say you get an aspirin or cider vinegar or Tums if I'm not out, that's pretty much what you get if you're sick in my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you know, what you're talking about there with these commercials and the side effects of medications and all that's published about the harmful effects and people overdosing on meds or people experiencing all these severe problems from taking certain medications, and you know, the constant commercials for lawsuits that you see as well, has made people more aware of the dangers of prescription drugs. And so that's why I have a lot of these people that are more aware, people that are more in tune with their bodies and with their health, are seeking me out for alternatives. They know they have health issues, but they don't want to take the drugs because of those side effects, because of those potential harmful problems that they hear about these medications or they read about these medications causing. And so over the past 10, 15 years especially, I have seen a tremendous increase in people looking for alternatives and looking for something else other than that prescription drug. And there are plenty of alternatives out there. It's just that a lot of people don't know what they are, and they don't know how to make that right choice for what particular condition or problem or disease or whatever it is they're trying to treat. They don't know, and they need some trusted advice, and that's what I work at doing, is giving them the advice and sharing my knowledge with them, because I come from the standpoint of having the knowledge about the medications, about the drugs, as well as about the alternatives that are available. And a lot of times these alternatives are not totally safe in themselves. A lot of people think, well, it's natural, it's not going to hurt me. That's not true. There are lots of natural products out there that can hurt you, and you have to be careful about how you take those as well as with prescription drugs. But they don't have the side effects that most chemicals do, prescription drugs that are made with chemicals. And a lot of people don't realize, too, that some of the prescription medications are derived from natural products. They're just chemically altered, and they change the chemical structure on them to where they can get a patent on them. But they originally come from natural plants and products that are other natural sources, and that's how they are developed. But yeah, you're absolutely right, and you know, there's so much out there today in the news and about medications and on the commercials that people need to be cautious. They need to be very cautious.
I know. It really is scary. I mean, you can look in your own personal history and, you know, think back to a grandmother who was doped out of her mind, you know, because she was given so many, you know, drugs at the end of life. I mean, I think it happens to so many of us. We watch somebody in our family or somebody close to us just being poisoned by these drugs, and it may be legal, but that doesn't make it right. You've got this great story. Before we go too far down there, and I do have a great question in the chat room for you as we get a little further along in the show, but how did you go from being a pharmacist, you know, dispensing, you know, drugs, over-the-counter drugs, to doing what you're doing now? I know you've got this wonderful story, and I would love for you to share it with our audience.
Okay. All right. Be happy to. Well, about 15, 20 years ago, I had people started coming into the pharmacy that I was managing at that time, asking me questions about natural products, about supplements, and I didn't know the answer. And I didn't like that. I didn't like not being able to help somebody and tell them, you know, give them good information and advice on what they were asking about. And one of the reasons why I didn't know is because when I went through pharmacy school in the 1980s, we were not taught the application of natural medicine. We were only taught the history of natural medicine. At that time, you know, modern medicine was the thing. We got all these new drugs. You know, this stuff that they used to do 50, 60 or longer years ago, it's, you know, it's gone by the wayside. It doesn't work anyway. You know, we've got new, great new drugs. And so we just learned about the history. And so when these people started asking me these questions I couldn't answer, I said, well, I've got to find answers. So I started seeking ways to educate myself. And I found that there were some courses being taught in different areas across the country. There was a company that was employing doctors and other clinicians that were well-versed in natural medicine, that were practicing natural medicine, to teach these courses. So I started taking these courses, and I got certifications in all kinds of natural therapies. And in the process of learning the things that I learned and beginning to apply what I was learning and sharing that information with my patients, they would come back to me and tell me, wow, you know, what you told me made such a difference. I feel so much better now, or this problem I had is gone. My symptoms are relieved. You know, thank you so much for telling me about that. And, you know, that's very rewarding. And, my interest grew more and more in it, and I learned more and more, and I'm still learning. I'm learning all the time. I don't want to ever stop learning, and there's so much to learn, and things change so much as well. But as people saw benefits, and I saw my own personal benefits, I had some digestive issues going on in my own personal health, and a lot of health issues, and not eating right, and stress, and all the things that I was learning helped me as well, and changed my life totally as far as my health. If I'd have stayed on the path I was on before I started learning these things, I may not be here today.
Is that right? It was that bad?
It was that bad. The stress was literally making me sick, and I had such digestive issues. I was drinking a bottle or two of antacid, liquid antacids a day, just to, you know, try to ease the pain and the discomfort and from all the stress that the digestive issues that was caused by the stress in my life. And it made a tremendous difference in my own health, as well as numerous patients I've counseled with over the years. But as I developed this interest and began to see these things and working these natural therapies into my practice, I started moving more toward wanting to do that and that only. And I had a pharmacy that was a full, service pharmacy. We did prescription compounding, everything. And I said, I really want to open up a natural pharmacy. I want to have a pharmacy that's totally focused on natural products. And so I did. Opened up a second location.
Can I ask a quick question here?
Yeah.
I thought compounding was kind of natural. I don't know much about prescription drugs, as you can tell. But I thought compounding was something, I guess I'm thinking about hormones. That's not natural?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about something completely different?
No. Some of the compounding is natural.
Okay.
Some of it is not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
We did, when I was doing compounding in my operation I had, we did a lot of hormone therapy products. We would compound a lot of things with natural hormone therapy, where the hormones were from natural sources, not from the synthetic sources or chemical sources. But a lot of the compounding did use chemicals where you would have a medication maybe that the dosage form that it was originally in wasn't available anymore, but it could be compounded. Or you had to have somebody couldn't swallow a tablet or a capsule, you had to make it into a liquid for them. So that's part of compounding as well.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I opened this natural store, and it was going extremely well. I had a company came along wanting to buy my original pharmacy, my full-service pharmacy, and we were negotiating a deal with that. The economy started failing. 2008 hit. And then 2009, things got worse. And the company that originally wanted to buy my store, they backed out. Another company came along and they said, they wanted to buy both stores. They liked the concept I had with the natural. They wanted to buy both. And, this was even in with the failing economy, they were telling me, hey, we want to buy your store. We're going to give you a certain amount of money for it. We want you to go to work with us and partner with us and all this. And I was interested in doing that because they wanted to grow things and take it to a whole nother level, which I wanted to do as well. But the guy who owned this company strung me along for 6 months, kept telling me, yeah, we're going to do it. And I went to meet with him and his staff at his office one day, and something just didn't feel right. And I left there saying, this is not right. And so I called the guy back and I said, look, I just feel like I need to back out of this deal right now. And, he said, he was disappointed, but he said, okay, I understand how you feel. 2 weeks later, he filed for bankruptcy and shut everything down. He lost every operation, everybody that was in the operation with him that he had brought in with him, they lost everything.
And he was still talking to you? He was still in discussions
yes.
with you even though this was coming?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
He almost,
that is
he almost
big dishonest.
Pulled, oh, yeah. Yeah, he almost pulled me in with him. And,
wow.
But I think that was the Lord protecting me from that.
No kidding.
But anyway, I kept my business going, even though the economy was failing, things were sinking, things were looking really bad. I had with my original pharmacy, I had a big government contract. I was servicing a clinic that was a government subsidized clinic, and we did all the prescriptions for that clinic. I lost that contract. And this deal fell through. I put everything I had to try to keep those pharmacies open, and ended up early 2009 shutting down the original pharmacy and merging it with my natural business. In December 31st, 2009, I locked the door on my other pharmacy, the natural operation, and basically locked the door on my dream that day. And I ended up losing everything I had but my house.
Oh, my gosh.
And because I sunk everything I had into that business. And we lost it all. Thankfully, I was able to keep my house and thankfully, at that point, a friend of mine who I had helped out a couple of years earlier and gave him some work when he needed some work. He was running a pharmacy operation for a company at the time. I had to shut mine down, and he called me and he said, "Hey, I need a pharmacist. Come to work for me." And I did. So I had a job. I was able to keep a little money coming in, but I was in major debt, major hole. It was tough time because I was. A few years before that, I was making money. I was successful. I had a multi-million-dollar operation, and then to see it all go away was painful. And
I can imagine. I mean, this is the point where most people just curl up into a fetal position and suck their thumb for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think I've done that.
Well,
but, I mean, you do what you have to do, but. Yeah. That had to have affected everything that you were doing at that time, your family, your marriage, how you felt about yourself. I mean, this is not something that, I mean, you're talking very calmly about it, but this had to have been so stressful that I'm thinking it probably affected your health all over again. And I'm just guessing, but I would think. So what did you do? I mean, how did you pull out of this?
Well, one of the things that's, two things. I've got a family, a wife and five children, and I had five kids looking to me for help, for support, and a wife looking to me, I had to be strong. And my kids didn't know anything about what was going on. I had my two oldest or my two sons. I've got two sons and three daughters. The two oldest were boys. They were in college at the time. And after things kind of settled down in early 2010, we sat them down and talked with them and told them what had happened and what was going on. But we didn't tell the girls. And they were, a good bit younger, and we didn't tell them in time. They knew things were a little different. We were doing things a little differently. We weren't spending money like we were. We weren't going and doing the things we were doing. But I had to be strong for my family, and of course, my faith as well. Strong faith. My wife is strong in her faith and prayer. She's my prayer warrior, and that those two things are two things that motivated me and kept me going, and helped me to get through what I was experiencing. And a lot of times at night, I would get out and walk. I called them, prayer walks, stress relieving walks, and try to. And I teach people this now to help. One of the things you can do to help manage stress is to do these stress relieving exercises. And so, getting out and walking at night in the dark, just alone and spending time in prayer and meditation, doing that, kept me, afloat. And kept me from sinking, and as I was doing that one night, I tell people that these thoughts just came to my mind and a saying, and I just started saying it out as I was walking. I began to say over and over and over, "I am happy. I am healthy. I am whole." And I just. Every night when I would walk, I would say that over and over. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm whole. And
so were you talking to your subconscious? Were you? Affirmations are one thing, I think. But if you're really drilling down to your subconscious and say, "Hey, pay attention to me," sounds like that's what you might have been doing.
Yeah, and then speaking to my subconscious, to my spirit, man. At that time, I needed that lifted me up. Even though I was not happy, I was not healthy, and I was not whole. At that time, I was saddened and depressed. I was heartsick, and I was in a hole. I was in a deep hole, not just financially, but also emotionally. So the fact that I was
and Phil, this was even things. With the support of your wife. I mean, a lot of times when this happens with people, the family breaks up, the marriage breaks up. It's just too stressful. So you were feeling this way even though you had tremendous support at home.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't even imagine what it's like for people who don't have that lifeline that you had. So it could have been so much worse, I think. But, I mean, I'm so glad you had that. That is a true blessing.
Yeah, well, I teach people in what I do that, you know, we're three-part beings. You know, we're body, we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have to take care of all three of them. And, you know, what I was doing at night, it was doing that. And not even at the time, I wasn't even consciously thinking about that. I was just doing it. I was out exercising. I was relieving stress and helping myself emotionally and you know, speaking to my spirit man with these affirmations, you know, not even consciously thinking about doing that. I was doing it, but. That kept me going, and in the process with this this job that I had, you know, I was on the road a lot. I was spending a lot of time away from home, and doing consulting work in nursing homes. It was part of the job that I had, and a couple years into, you know, this episode in our lives, trying to pull out and, you know, struggling through all the things we were struggling through financially. An old friend came along. Our daughters had been in school together, and he had a business, and he came to me and he said, "I need a pharmacist. I want you to consider helping me open up a pharmacy." And I said, I don't know. You know, I've got a job now. I don't know if I have time to do that. He said, "Well, the type of pharmacy I'm talking about, you can do it on nights and weekends. We're talking about a closed door pharmacy. It won't be open to the public. It's just for mail order." And I said, I'll think about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. I'm following along, and I would not have thought that would fall into your lap like that. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so I told my wife about it, and we prayed about it, and we felt like, you know, hey, you know, what have we got to lose? You know, maybe it's something that, you know, God's brought into our lives. Let's, you know, let's go for it. And since it's not going to interfere with my job, I can do it, you know, nights and weekends. We'll do that. So we started the process. That was early 2012. And we opened this pharmacy in April of 2012. And I was working it nights and weekends. You know, I didn't have any money to invest in this, and the guy told me, you know, he said, "Look, I'll put the money up." He said, "I'll give you, you know, certain percentage in the business, you know, for your expertise, your license." You know, I had some computer equipment. I said, "I can give you the computer equipment that I've got, you know, computer server and different things we'd need to get started with." I built the pharmacy out myself in an empty, in a warehouse that he had next to his operation, we started. And April 2012, we started filling prescriptions, and every weekend, every night that I could, I would go in. And after a year of doing that, after 6 months of doing that, I started getting a little money out of it. I started getting a salary. Small salary, but I worked 6 months for free. I didn't take any pay for 6 months as part of my investment in the company. And so after 6 months,
you started bringing money out of it at 6 months. That I don't think you understand how rare that is.
Hey, I know.
Okay, you
rare.
Do. It's very.
Yeah.
For those listening,
that's
pretty much unheard of.
Yeah, but the business took off, so. And fast forward 3 years, 3.5 years later, I realized, hey, this business is doing so well. My dream is still alive. My dream didn't die when I locked the doors in 2009. I had, you know, kept it going to a certain extent, doing what I could with with certain patients that I had that relied on me and wanted certain products that I that they could only get from me at the time. And so we kept it kind of going on the side a little bit. But this year I said, it's time to revive. It's time to plug in and get back to doing what my passion truly is. And at that time, this little pharmacy operation that we started in this warehouse had grown to 5 pharmacies. And the partner I had decided he wanted to open more, and we started opening 2 years ago. Got one, got another, and they're all doing very well. So I told him 6 months ago or so, 7 months ago, look, I want to sell my part of the business. I want to follow my dream, my passion. And, you know, he didn't believe me at first. It took me a while to convince him that that's what I wanted to do. And I finally convinced him. And about 6 weeks ago or so, we cut a deal, and I sold most of my shares in the business for a large amount of money. Less than 6 years, I've gone from having nothing to being extremely blessed.
You said something a little bit ago that I actually wrote it down because I thought it was so important. You said something about this episode. Did you recognize at the time that this was just, and I know saying just an episode is minimizing, you know, the angst that you went through, but I mean, can you look back now and go, it was an episode? I mean, most of life is comprised of episodes, I think it's what you do with them.
Exactly. It was a season.
There you
I guess
go.
Would be a better word for it.
Yeah.
It was a season in my life. It was a season I wasn't looking for. A season I didn't want. A season I thought would never ever happen. I never dreamed in my life that would ever happen to me. That I would be in that position where I had lost everything but my house and had to file bankruptcy. I never would have believed it. But over the past 3.5 years, I've been able to pay back all the people that I owed. I don't owe. I'm debt free now, and I've gone back to those people that I owed when I had to close my store and paid them all back. And I feel overwhelmingly blessed at this point, and I know without a doubt that our faith has and our strong faith has kept our marriage together, kept our family together, kept our lives together, and brought us to this point that we are that we're at right now.
You don't sound like you're bitter or angry. Point where you were?
I think in the beginning, initially, I was bitter. I was angry because of all the things that had transpired, and I thought, you know, we're going to sell this business, we're going to be okay, we're going to get a large amount of money for the sale of our businesses, everything's going to be fine, we're going to be able to pay off this debt that we owe, and it didn't happen. And initially I was angry at the guy that left me stranded.
That was my question, actually.
I was angry at myself. I was mad at myself because I felt like I had made a lot of mistakes in business and done some things, you know, financially that helped get me in that position. And I was mad at myself. And in those walks at night that I was talking about, during those times of prayer and meditation, is when I forgave that man. And
you forgave yourself?
I forgave him, but most importantly, I forgave myself.
There you go. Okay, that was what I was trying to figure out. Because one of the, I think the, I don't know about you, when something goes wrong, the first person I point out is always me.
Yeah.
And boy, you know, we as humans, we are very good at beating ourselves up. I'm very good. Nobody can do a better job of beating the garbage out of us than we can.
Yeah.
Even if it's not necessary. Sometimes it
exactly.
is. But sometimes it's just not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was definitely beating myself up a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, that released me when I, you know, when I forgave myself. And it made a difference in the healing process that took place over those months as we dug our way out of the hole and got back on track financially.
So you've mentioned a couple of times the exercises, the stress relieving exercises. I know you've mentioned that walking is one of them.
Yes.
I'm with you. I live in a very small neighborhood. I live amongst a bunch of sugarcane fields. I can safely walk at night, and I do. It's the best. I live in the deep south. You live a state away from me, and you probably experience the same kind of humidity that I do. I went out this morning before dawn. I swear to you, the minute I opened that door, two things happened. Number one, I walked smack into a giant spider web. Number two, I felt like I was wrapped in a wet wool blanket. The humidity was incredible. I thought it was fog. It wasn't. It was moisture in the air. So
yeah.
I find that walking in the evenings most times, that's when I'm calmer. You know, I'm very alert in the mornings. I want to work in the mornings. So I have found that evening is my kind of cool down time, and then I can come back and do some more work. But are there other stress relieving exercises that you can recommend to people that they can easily or safely incorporate into their daily life? And I think what we're telling people here is you don't need to exercise an hour a day. You just need to do some things each day to make sure that your stress is, you know, under control and that you're taking proper care of your body.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I teach and preach on a regular basis. But and I often talk to people you know, about their stress issues, because that's a major thing, you know, right now in the world that we live in. We can't get away from stress. We can't avoid stress. I tell people, unless you want to go be a hermit somewhere, and you're still going to have some stress there.
Well, yeah, you give it to yourself. Trust me, I'm a hermit.
Yeah.
I can make stress all day long.
Yeah. But, you know, the external stresses are great right now in people's lives. But so, you know, getting out and walking and having those meditative walks, prayer-type walks, those things are wonderful. But the other things I tell people is, you know, just sit down, get by yourself somewhere and meditate, read, pray, do those kind of things. Another thing too is that helps tremendously, and that and encourage people to do is stretching exercises. A lot of the just general stretching or the yoga type exercises, some of those can be great stress relievers as well.
How about breathing exercises? We hear a lot about, you know, breath work.
Yes, and that's one of the major ones that I tell people, especially if they're in a really stressed situation that they need to calm themselves down quickly. I tell people, you get really hyped up, you get really stressed, and you know, as quick as you can, get somewhere by yourself, go to a bathroom, go to a closet, get somewhere where you can close the door and you can lift.
Okay, I think I lost. Are you still there?
You can. I'm here. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Disconnected there for a second, but where you can lift your arms up. Lift your arms up and just stretch and inhale and exhale as deeply as you possibly can. Breathe in, breathe out, do those deep breaths, and that will instantly calm you and relax you. And I add one other little component to that. I tell them, as they're blowing that air out, as they're exhaling, say to yourself, I'm blowing this stress away. And I do that. I have to do that myself sometimes. I get in a stressful situation, but I share that with everybody that comes to me that's, you know, dealing with stress or any kind of major stress. It does help tremendously.
I actually do something very similar. You know, there's a reason why those old wives' tales exist, like the one where your grandma said, take a breath and count to 10.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving yourself that moment to reassess and to kind of relax a bit. I wanted to ask you, too, because you're talking about getting away and you're just kind of getting off by yourself. I can't meditate. I've tried, and I hate to use that word can't. It's anathema to me, but I seem to be unable to meditate in any meaningful fashion. I tend to fall asleep, fall over, and drool, or I start making the Thanksgiving dinner list. You know, I just, my little chicken brain won't shut off. But I have found that by going into my bathtub and just dimming the lights, lighting some candles, I have a spa tub which is 6 feet long, which means I can actually lay down in it. And I put a ton of Epsom salts and essential oils in there. That's where I kind of commune with myself and meditate, if you will. And that's where my squirrel brain relaxes, and I'm able to free those you know, the things that were lurking at the back of my head, those great ideas that just won't come out. But the minute I get in the bathtub and I start to purposely relax, it's amazing. It really is amazing. Yeah. But I had to train myself to take that time. I mean, you think, oh, I'll go take a bath. But when you have to train yourself, it's kind of my bedtime routine. Because I don't sleep naturally. It's not. I don't want to sleep. I don't enjoy sleeping. So I have to make that part of my, you know, calming down, putting myself to bed routine, and it works. But I wanted to ask you about Epsom salts. I mean, what is your take on that? Because I'm finding they really help me feel better. They help me sleep. My skin feels better. I mean, I love them.
Yeah.
But I buy high-quality Epsom salts, not the kind you buy in a carton at the drugstore.
Exactly. That's wonderful. You know, what you just described is a great way to de-stress and relax, and especially for women with the squirrel brains, like you're talking about, you got those wires going everywhere, with all these thoughts running through your mind, just to kind of relax that mind, and that's a great. My wife does that as well.
Right. Well, listen, y'all men think we talk a lot to you. We talk more to ourselves, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know.
You ought to hear what goes on in there. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, we men don't have that much of a problem with that. We don't. Our brains, you know, as you know, are a lot different. And so we have what we call nothing boxes. Nothing boxes that we go into.
Yeah, and you know that really angers us. Do you know that? I'm sure your wife has shared that with you. Oh, good. I didn't think it was news to you. We have some comments in the chat room, and one of this goes back when you were talking earlier about, you know, how men kind of keep things to themselves. And the comment here from a gentleman is, we men are very bad about this. We will never tell you this, but we are very hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, you've got some big things going on right now. I mean, you've gone, I love your story, and I really wanted to get this story out because I think it's important. You're not alone. I mean, a lot of people have had businesses fail because of the economy and everything that's going on in the United States and the world right now. Things are different than they used to be, and you don't expect to have, you know, all of a sudden be upside down in your business and you know, you're just skating along and everything's fine, and all of a sudden it's not so fine. But you're not alone, but it's what you do with it. And you have gone from kind of strength to strength. Like I said earlier, you're in Alabama right now. But you're also doing something online, too, so you're stretching even further. And you're talking about 49 days to a more balanced, healthy, and vibrant life, and I need to hear more about that.
Yeah,
because I love the title. So can you tell me about that?
Yes, absolutely. The online business is what I'm focusing on now. I told you I was getting back into the natural and back into my passion.
Right.
You know, 6 years ago I had a brick and mortar operation. Now I'm not looking to do brick and mortar anymore. I'm looking to do everything online, and reach multitude more people than I could reach in a brick and mortar operation. With the message of health and living healthy lives. So one of the things that we're doing is we have developed, and this is with our friend Tom Schwab, has helped me in developing this online course that I call Finding 49. this is a course developed from a class that I taught in my church entitled Fine in 49. And where that comes from is that, you know, when we greet each other, most people when they greet each other, that's the word fine is what's used. You say, hey, how are you doing? I'm fine. Are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm fine. But in reality, when people say that, most of the time it's not.
No,
they're really,
it's a southern thing. We're just polite that way.
That's
yeah, we're
exactly,
fine. We're not
really
going to say, oh, yeah, life sucks. Yeah, let me tell you about it. We just don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. But we're really not fine. And so I developed this course to teach people, you know, some essentials for healthy living, seven essentials that this course teaches. And I tell people, you know, you put these into practice in your life, then you can start telling the truth when somebody asks you if you're fine. You will be feeling fine. And so these seven essentials is what this course, Fine in 49, teaches. It's a 49-day course. And 7 days a week, 7 weeks, 49 days, and 49 days to a more healthy or a more balanced, healthy, and vibrant life. And that's what I teach is the balance and primarily and how to balance all these things. And as I said earlier, we're three-part beings. We're body, soul, and spirit, and this course covers it all. And the seven essentials are nutrition, exercise, water, sleep, supplements, soul, and spirit. And so the initial part of the course is to cover the body and to take care of the body, and then we move on to the soul and the spirit man. And it was very successful in our church when I did it. People engaged. We got some great response and great results with the people who participated in the course. I was extremely happy with what happened and how people got on board and started changing their eating habits and started exercising more and started drinking more water, which is extremely important. And I preach that all the time. You've got to have water. Too many people don't drink enough water, and that's one of the things that when somebody comes to me for health problems and wants to consult with me, one of the first things I ask them is, how much water are you drinking? And most of the time the response is not near enough.
What do you recommend? I drink a ton of water. I love the taste of water. I love it. I mean, it's my favorite beverage. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much all I drink. But I have known people, I swear to you, I worked with a girl one time, and she drank Diet Dr. Pepper all the time. I'd rather drink crankcase oil than that stuff, but oh my gosh. So one, and she had constant urinary tract infections, constant. And we would tell her, you've got to drink water. I'm telling you, we're not doctors, you've got to drink water. This is a true story. She took a big old gulp of water. We handed her a bottle of water, and she took a big old gulp. She made a face like we had tried to poison her. She said, that's nasty. That's water. She did not want that water. She didn't like the taste. She did. I was like, really? You're going to kill yourself. Seriously.
Yeah.
You're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's not healthy.
I
you know, I've kept up with her. She's not a healthy girl.
Yeah. Well, I encounter people like that all the time. And I've seen people's health issues change dramatically just from changing from drinking sodas or sweet tea or you know, whatever sugary drink they substitute water with, and they change and their health changes, and it makes such a difference. But I encourage people first and foremost, you know, to do that, to change those habits of what they're drinking, and preferably spring water. As natural as they can get it as far as spring water. If not spring water, you know, filtered water that needs to be filtered. I tell people not to drink straight tap water unless they don't have any other choice. If they can get a good natural spring water, that's what they need to do. And there are water devices out there now that you can filter your water through, or you can change the structure of your water with, you can alkalize your water. There's all those types of water devices are available to people. Most of them are pretty expensive, but they are available to help somebody who can't afford it to be able to drink healthier water.
Yeah, I looked into one the other day and I went, how much? I mean, they're thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
For the alkaline one that I was looking at, I went, maybe not today, but soon, not today.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about. What do you think about plastic water bottles? That's a concern for me. I mean, everything is plastic, and I have a lot of, I live in Hurricane Alley, so we always have a lot of bottled water in the garage and stored away. And every time I open one of those, I think, what am I drinking? I'm always a little bit concerned about that.
Right. Well, there's more, there's chemicals in the plastic. And, of course, the plastic is made with chemicals. And that's the concern there. Are those chemicals leaching into the water? And generally, that's not going to happen unless the plastic is exposed to heat. And so I tell people
they're in the garage; it's hot, so they're exposed.
Keep your bottled water in a cool place if you're going to store it. If you're not going to drink it for a long time, it's going to be stored. Keep it in.
Well, I do swap it out from season to season, to make sure it doesn't sit there for too long. Okay, did we lose you again? Philip, can you hear me? Oh, I think we lost him again there. Philip? Well, I hope we didn't lose him. Anyway, I'm hoping he'll come back, but you can find him, if you look in the show notes, you can find him, let me find my show notes. Let's see here. Philip, I hope you can make it back. Well, this is not sounding good because I actually have some questions, too, in the chat room. Well, darn. Okay, I'm going to give it a couple more minutes. So we do have some questions or some comments, actually, in the chat room, so I'll read those while we wait for Philip to see if he can come back. Let me check my studio here. Oh, he's still there. One comment in here was, this is really a blessing. This is really blessing me. And my question was, how so? And the response was, listen to the emotion in his voice. I love real people. So I thought that was a great, great comment. Hey, you back?
I'm back. I lost you there for a second. I don't know, we're having some issues here with the phone system.
Yeah, well, I figured, so I just kept on talking until you could get back. So.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know if you heard this or not. Oh, it's, technology happens, and, thank goodness you were able to be here at all. I was saying, I don't know if you heard this or not, but we had a comment in the chat room early on in the show where when we were talking, you were talking very early about, I think it was when you walked out of that man's office and said, this isn't right, I'm not going to sell you my company. And the comment was, this is really blessing me. And I said, how so? And the comment came back, listen to the emotion in his voice. I love real people. So you're really getting to, people in our audience here.
Yeah. Well,
you're sharing a big story here, and I thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Well, I count myself at this point in my life extremely, extremely blessed. And it was a struggle, but we got through it. And one of the things that I try to encourage people, and I don't share my story a lot, and sometimes when I do, I do get emotional sharing it, but because it's still fresh, it's still real, I encourage people not to give up on their dream. We're going to get hit with things in our lives. We're going to get that we don't expect, and we're not looking for. But we've got to stay strong. Stay faithful. Hang on to our faith. Hang on to each other, and I'm so thankful that through all of the struggles that we had a few years ago, and that my wife was there for me, and she was a pillar for me, and you know, my faith in God was a pillar for me, and I'm just extremely thankful.
It's a wonderful story, and I'm just so glad that you were here to share it. I do have a question in the chat room, and this came in early on, but I wanted to get through the show before I asked it. And we're talking about the natural, you know, natural types of things that you can take. This gentleman has fibromyalgia and ADD, but he's unable to take any kind of medications because of conflicts with transplant medications. And he wants to know if there are any natural alternatives that do not contradict or contraindicate, I think, with transplant medications. And I, you know, I'm curious about that too, because I have a brother who, in the last about a year or so ago, had a double lung transplant, and the medications they've got him on just scare the bejeebers out of me.
That is a problem. And you know, with some of those medications, they do have you know, major side effects. And one of the issues with medications is particularly steroid medications that most transplant patients have to take. You know, they deplete nutrients from the body. And the most important thing there is not necessarily taking something that's going to help, or taking an herbal product, or taking some type of product that can relieve symptoms or whatever, but to take the nutrients, to get the nutrition, to get the nutrients that are needed to replace what is being depleted from the body by the medications. And there are numerous medications that do that very thing. They deplete certain nutrients from our body. And I would encourage anybody on a transplant medication, not really big concerned about, can I take this, can I take that, get the nutrition, the basic nutrition. If you can't get it from foods that you eat, if you can't get the foods that are loaded with nutrients, good fresh-grown vegetables and fruit, then go to the supplements, good quality food source supplements, and to replenish what's being lost. And there's all kinds of information and sources on the internet to find out what these depletions are and which drugs, what nutrients are being depleted by what medications. Somebody could do a Google search, type in, you know, nutrient depletion or drug nutrient depletion, and there are quite a few charts, graphics on there that give you the breakdown on those.
Oh, that's good. That would be the most. So drug nutrient, I'm typing this in the chat room, drug nutrient depletion.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, great.
Yeah, and they can do a search with those three words and get a lot of information there and find out what they need to be replenishing, make sure. And a lot of times people's health issues are related to those nutrient depletions. You know,
if you're not a transplant patient, I understand.
Exactly.
You know, smokers, I think, deplete themselves like crazy.
They do, quite especially in B vitamins, vitamin A. A lot of people are dealing with depletion problems, and vitamin D is one of the major ones. A lot of people have vitamin D deficiencies, whether they're depleted by medication or they're just deficient because of lack of exposure to the sun. People are suffering from all types of ailments, and particularly emotional type issues because of vitamin D deficiency. And that's something that I talk to people a lot. But as far as transplant patients, they need to look at those depletion issues.
Great.
For sure.
Well, he's looking at that. He said that would be great info to add to your website. Speaking of which, where can people find you on the web? And where can they find your program?
At my website is carsonnatural.com, and the website or the link for the Finding 49 course We're doing a beta test of this course right now, and there's still openings for the beta test if anybody wants to participate. It's find carsonnatural.com/find N49. And that's where they can go, and there's a direct link to the Find N49 online course beta test that Tom and
okay.
I are working on doing right now.
Excellent. I just put that in the chat room. Philip, thank you so much for being with me here today. I know you had to go get in your car and go out of your business
yes.
meeting, and I really appreciate it. Your story is truly inspiring. And yeah, I'm watching all this stuff in the chat room, and you've touched some lives here today. I can promise you that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And if it's okay with you, I'll make one additional offer here for your listeners. I'll have a landing page set up immediately for carsonnatural.com/success.
Okay.
That will take your listeners to a page where they can get a free guide that I give away to help increase your energy levels, some tips on nutrition to help increase your energy, and also there's a discount there on a nutrition and fitness assessment that we do. So,
excellent.
If your listeners will go to that site, carsonnatural.com/success, they'll have access to that.
Great. I just put that in the chat room. Phil, thank you so much. I'm genuinely happy that you were here with me today. I just feel so much better about everything today. So, be safe. You go back into your meeting, and thank you so much. And everybody who is listening, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Philip Carson, and I will see you next week. Listen, good luck with your program, and let me know if I can help you promote it in any way or get it out to my audience.
Thank you very much, Denise. I appreciate that. It's been an honor being with you today.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at
Thank
her
you.
Office on the web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.